All right, I'm just going to do a quick intro for you, okay?
Cool.
Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another Coffee with Kim episode. If you are new here, this is a women's health show where we bring forward conversations around everything to do with women's health and basically invite you into the conversations. So I'm Kim, I'm your host, and I'm a nutritionist and master NLP practitioner. And today I've got here as my guest, Olivia from Balanced Boss Babes. Olivia, you'll have to help me pronounce your last name.
Chitty.
Chitty, yeah, I always get confused. Chitty. Oh, I love that, Chitty Bang Bang. Awesome. That's cool. That's awesome. Okay, so just a little bit of information about Olivia and why I brought her onto the show. So Olivia is a certified NLP practitioner, just like myself. And she specializes in self-love and life coaching. And she helps overwhelmed and ambitious women build confidence, build mindset and strategy for holistic success. And she does this through one-on-one coaching, courses, dance classes, and women's circles. So how I met Olivia was a mix between hearing about her through a mutual friend. And I also just came across her Instagram, and I was just so inspired by her confidence. She really does practice what she preaches, and some of the information she was sharing on her Instagram really inspired me. And I thought that it would be really cool to have her come on the show and share some of her wisdom and insights around things like self-love and building confidence, because I think it's something that all women, we ultimately struggle with. So Olivia, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Those are very kind words, and it's so awesome to come on and have this chat with you. I think we'll be able to cover so many important topics that women need to hear, a lot of the stuff that we should have been taught in high school. And it's just amazing seeing like the feminine energy and like empowerment that's going on within women in our communities, and I'm so excited to be a part of it and to help facilitate that growth with women. So thank you so much for having me today.
My absolute pleasure. So Olivia, I'd love for us to for the community to get to know you a bit more. So tell me a bit about your own health and personal growth journey. So what we see is just, you know, confident, organized Olivia on social media. And, you know, obviously you've built this coaching business, but, you know, has it always been like this? I'd love to find out, where did you start?
Yeah, definitely. So I actually, like, out of school, I went to uni and studied fashion design, fashion and business. So that was kind of my first mission. And I really wanted to have a positive impact on the fashion industry, because it is quite bad for the environment, for the planet, for people. So I really wanted to have a positive impact in that way, in that environmental aspect. So I actually, after uni, I went and started creating this ethical fashion rental business with another woman, and was working on that for like two something years. We got that launched and up and running. And after a while, it just kind of started to feel out of alignment, like my passion and that fire had kind of just fizzled out. And it just, something inside was just telling me like, this isn't right for you anymore. And I had put in like, obviously so much time, money, effort into that one path that I was so committed to. So yeah, after a while of having those internal feelings, I kind of just had to make that tough decision to actually disconnect from that. And, you know, there was a lot of other things, you know, coming into play. Like, it is hard. I'll be transparent, like, it's hard working with someone else as well. Like, getting into business with someone can be, you know, it can be really tricky. So that wasn't as smooth as I had hoped for. So it was a really, really great learning curve, but I just had to kind of listen to my gut and, you know, disconnect from that fashion journey. It wasn't right for me anymore. It wasn't in alignment. And I always knew I wanted to help in some way. Like, as I said, it was either going to be with like the environmental issues, whereas when I kind of transitioned into the coaching space, that was more to help heal people and help heal their own wounds so they can actually have a positive impact themselves within the world. So it's still the same mission. But the reason why I kind of went from fashion to coaching was I've gone through my own mental health struggles. Like, I've struggled with depression, you know, through high school on and off. I've seen counselors. I've, you know, had plenty of coaches myself, and I've always been quite like a spiritual person, and I've really loved, just personal development, basically, just overcoming struggles, turning like past experiences into strengths rather than letting that hold me back in life. So I find that work really empowering. And when I have experienced the benefits of investing time and energy into that work, I realized, actually, this is what I want to do. And this is just, yeah, they're just about right. You know, just kind of, you had this idea and you sort of, you know, visualize how it could be in your life. And I actually started seeing 222, like the angel number 222, repeatedly over and over. And that's like a really big sign for me. It's a really important number in our family. It has a lot of significance. And I started seeing that and trusting that I was on the right path and, you know, doing that education, investing in those courses so I could become, you know, a certified coach to help people. And yeah, that's kind of how that journey began. I started off with the women's circles, which was really beautiful way to sort of just connect with women, bring people together that had, you know, like-minded intentions and just wanted to have real and raw conversations that can be a little bit hard to get into with your, you know, everyday friend group. A lot of the time it's just like going out for drinks, having a party. And this was the intention behind this, was just really to strip back all the layers and take off the mask and have those like really genuine conversations about, you know, the struggles that we go through as women, and also, you know, goal setting and what we're working towards, and just holding space for each other and celebrating each other. Because what I've experienced in the past is a lot of competitive nature between women, and that's one of the really important things that I actually want to change. You know, the tall poppy syndrome, the jealousy, projection of insecurities, and that's a really huge part of my mission, is that women rise together and collaboration over competition. So that's kind of how it started, with those women's circles, sort of expanded into the one-on-one coaching and courses as I got my NLP certification and did more studies to have that behind me. So yeah, I mean, as I have built up this business, there's, you know, been the ups and downs still. Like, as you can imagine, you know, being a solopreneur, you still have self-doubts come up. You still have the struggles of learning new tech tools. And it's, you know, it's constantly like this roller coaster journey, but it's so empowering when you sort of reach that new level, you learn something new, you overcome something, you see the positive impact you're having on other people's lives. That's kind of a little bit about my journey and where I'm at right now.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I really love the points that you've sort of shared about how, you know, women, we don't really often have the tough conversations with, you know, just our friends group or even our family. And that's something that I've noticed a lot just through working with women over the last sort of, you know, 7 years, is I realize I'm the first person that I've ever talked to about depression, anxiety, you know, shame, guilt, insecurities. And they, as women, like, I don't know whether it, maybe it is the competitive nature that we have of always trying to look happy and be okay. I mean, I think I'm really lucky that I do have friends that we do open up to each other about that kind of stuff. And I get to have these conversations all the time, but so many women aren't having these conversations, are they? And we're just kind of internalizing them. And actually, going back to when you were struggling with, you said, like, depression and, you know, your mental health back then, were you internalizing that, or were you talking to your friends about that? Like, what was your journey from going from dealing with that to then realizing, actually, I do need to talk to somebody?
I think it's an interesting one, because I think my first experience of that was back in high school, you know, a very long time ago now. And it's that sort of underlying bullying that goes on between women and friend groups, you know, how there's like, you know, that nice kind of attitude and you know, they present themselves as being your friend to your face, but there's that sort of subtle exclusion and sort of isolation that can be experienced. But it's really, really hard to kind of call out and pinpoint because it's not out there in your face. But it goes on a lot, like it, beyond high school that happens. Like I've talked to so many clients who are in their 50s and still experience that. So it's, and it's quite funny because it is one of those things where you can easily go inward and think, am I just making this up in my head? Is this actually happening? Like, is this, you know, like you feel it inside and you know something's not right. And you know that there's like this vibe and this energy that's not very welcoming and not very friendly. But it's just really hard to kind of talk about because there's no, I guess, black and white evidence in your face to talk about. So it is hard to talk about those things and call it out. But as you get older and the more you experience it, like you can, you know, you can see it a mile away. And it's easier to sort of just disconnect and not even engage in that. But back then when you don't have those tools and you're, you know, in a group and your identity is tied to like this certain friend group in school, it's really hard to have those conversations. So I guess, yes, I was internalizing it back then. And I, you know, it got to a point where I didn't even realize it was actually affecting me until, one evening, like, it all just kind of came up to the surface, you know, had a huge breakdown, things, you know, shit hit the fan basically. And I just was not in a good place. Like I realized I actually do need to talk to someone. And I, you know, was open about that with my friends. And there wasn't, well, with my friends, you know, there wasn't really that much support there at that time. And I had to kind of just go through that by myself. And also like within my family, like they also didn't quite really understand that, you know, they had learnt to just sort of hold on to their emotions, to suppress their emotions. Like, I guess when you are growing up, if your parents aren't like open with their own emotions, it teaches you to go inward and just to sort of deal with it yourself. And there's not that safe space to open up and talk about it. So that's what I learned. And that's, I think, has been, you know, obviously good and bad in some ways. Like it's made me like a really independent and strong woman. Like I can hold my own. I don't need anyone else. But it's also, you know, it can make you retreat and it can make you like not trust people to hold that space for you and to open up. So going through my own journey, that's, you know, what I've allowed myself to do and to receive that support and to ask for that support. And being vulnerable has been a journey for me rather than being like constantly the strong woman. So yeah, I've gone, you know, and had those therapy journeys, talking to counselors and everything like that, which is great to kind of heal those childhood experiences. And yeah, after that, I kind of transitioned more into actually like the coaching world, which is quite different because it's more sort of future focused rather than, I guess, reactionary. I think a lot of people only go to sort of therapy when they have, you know, a big breakdown or a breakup or a big drama happens, and then they go to therapy to get some help. Whereas, like, you know, that's great, but you can also, when you're in a good place, go to therapy or to coaching and get that help to move forward to where you want to go and build tools in a more preventative or proactive way rather than that reactive kind of response to a big, you know, situation happening that's hurtful and painful, and then you're sort of left trying to struggle and swim up to the surface and not drown in all of the drama or emotions that are like engulfing you.
And I think you've kind of explained quite well to like the ladies who are listening some of like the subtle differences, or maybe not subtle, between therapy and the role of a coach. So you're sort of saying, you know, as coaches, we help people move forward. And it is really sort of future focused as opposed to therapy. They do a lot more unpacking the past. And obviously, sometimes we do need to go back to the past. But if we keep staying in the past, it's not necessarily helpful for everyone, is it? So I've actually never had therapy personally myself. So I'm very familiar with the coaching journey, and I found that very, very helpful. I use the tools for myself, like, and clients really enjoy those tools. Do you feel like you got benefit from both, and would you sort of agree that that's kind of the main difference between the two?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the kind of coaching, but whenever I've had therapy, it's been, as I mentioned, it was that really sort of reactionary approach to therapy. So it was to, you know, it was talking about what was going on right now. That's something that was really, you know, real in my, you know, life at that time. So I didn't really go too far back into, you know, healing all of those childhood things. It was talking about this situation right now, you know, getting better and then sort of disconnecting and going on with my life. I'd never kind of was too proactive with therapy. It was more when I did coaching, like we did go back into childhood experiences, but it was really intentional and it wasn't like dragging on talking for like a year with a counselor. It's different. I think I had like lots of, you know, a lot of time and space to sort of vent and talk about things, but I feel like, and I learned a few tools and I got so much out of that. But yeah, it is different. Like with the coaching that I've experienced and had with, you know, life and business coaches, it's like talking about the issues and where they've come from and how childhood experiences have linked to your present thought patterns or behavior patterns, and actually gaining that understanding rather than just talking and venting. It's like, I'm actually understanding these connections and how they have been affecting my reactions to present situations or my behaviors when it comes to interacting within relationships, whether it's being like really guarded because I've, you know, I'm afraid of abandonment or rejection from past experiences. Like, I think coaching allows you to gain that deeper understanding of those things and heal and release negative emotions in a proactive way from those past experiences a little bit quicker, and to be able to move forward in a really positive and empowering way with new beliefs and new behavior patterns and goals, of course. So that's how I see the difference. Both so extremely valuable and so helpful. And I think it's at different, you know, at different stages. I think coaching as well is more like when you're in a solid place, you're not, you know, obviously deep in depression, you're not suicidal. I think that's where you kind of go to a counselor or a therapist. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because you still need to be in a state where you can do the work.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing that. Really appreciate the openness about this, because I think there's kind of a little bit of a, I don't know, a lot of women struggle to ask for help, and they almost see reaching out for therapy or for coaching as like admitting defeat. You know, I think a lot of women, I know I'm definitely like that, and it's one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't reach out for help earlier. So I think the more women hear that, it is so powerful, and it's not a sign of weakness to reach out for help. It's actually a sign of strength. Like, I listened to the story that you're saying, and I'm like, that was a really strong move, because you had to drop any sort of ego that you might have had around asking for help, and also by reaching out, you're committing to yourself, aren't you? And you're committing to do the work and to do the learning. So thank you. That's very inspirational.
No worries.
Okay, so my next thing that I want to talk to you about, it comes from your Instagram. What do you call it? The Instagram bio.
Yeah.
I want to discuss these two words, overwhelmed and ambitious. So you said that you hope you help overwhelmed and ambitious women. Now, when I read that, I think, oh my goodness, that is me. I feel like I am often overwhelmed, and I would consider myself ambitious. And where do you think this comes from? So I have some sort of theory around why we live in a world where a lot of women are feeling overwhelmed. And I almost feel like there is this connection between the ambitiousness and that feeling of being overwhelmed. So here's something that I personally struggle with. The fact that we live in this society where women can now wear lots of different hats. And there's a lot of positives with this, right? I love that we live in a world where my path isn't just laid out for me. It's not like, okay, your role in life is to try and look nice and tidy for your husband, get married, have kids, run a neat and tidy home. And if you do that, you know, that's all you need. That's your path. And now we have all these choices. and, you know, we can start businesses, or, you know, we can build, work our way up in corporate. And where I find it quite challenging, though, is I feel like there's still that, the old school societal expectations for women to still, you know, be a great partner and, you know, run a nice tidy home and cook and all that sort of thing. But then you also want to jump into this new exciting space of starting a career and doing that. And so I feel like we're almost, you can easily put pressure on yourself to do everything, and wear all the different hats. And I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Is it, you know, how is society contributing, do you think, to what I'm experiencing? Overwhelmed.
Yeah, definitely. I think with the way that society has been kind of working for so long, as, you know, women have gained more, you know, opportunities to, you know, be successful and to take up space in the corporate world or within their careers and opportunities, it's, you know, obviously, as you said, it's amazing, but it's still like everyone has been operating in this very like masculine state for so long, very much go, 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 do, 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 chase the money, always just action taking. It's always just like the hustle, and that hustle culture that was going around for so long, you know, like, you know, there were so many sort of things on Instagram popping up around like with that word hustle. And I'm just so against that word, because it's just constantly doing and doing and doing and never creating or allowing that space for you to actually just be and to enjoy the present moment and to actually feel what is going on with your emotions and to experience pleasure and joy. Like, there's just no space anymore for that. And that you have to really, really be like intentional about creating that space. But we haven't been conditioned in that way. We've been conditioned in the very masculine mindset. And things are starting to change now, where, like, obviously, you know, the feminine side is coming up more, and we're starting to kind of question everything and to create our own rules, which is so amazing. But as women, like, we still as a whole have very much masculine energy dominance. And when it comes to, like, you know, Miss Independent, like, I don't need no man, you know, that kind of trend that was going around for a long time as well, I think that really didn't help. Because if you understand or you don't understand masculine and feminine energy, like, when I'm referring to that, we all have both of them within us. It's not like men only have masculine energy and females only have feminine energy. We both have each energy within us. And it's when you are like in a really good place, when you have inner peace and harmony, like, you have like a really healthy balance of those two. Whereas a lot of the time, you know, most people have that unempowered masculine energy dominance, which just kind of, yeah, makes you disregard your emotions. It makes you think that you're lazy when it comes to taking a rest or to listen to your body and to just take a step back and to not feel guilty about doing that as well. It's constantly putting that pressure on us to just do and be operating at like 100% all the time, which is just really not healthy. So yeah, it's even in school we were kind of taught the same way. Like, we weren't taught about how to actually nourish ourselves and take care of ourselves when it came to our menstrual cycle and our period as well. Like, we weren't taught any of that stuff, and it's just like we're just expected to just go on as, you know, as usual, as if we still have the same amount of energy, and if there isn't a whole lot of stuff going on in our bodies with our hormones and our energy levels like taking a dive. And it's just like we're just expected to be the same every single day, because that's what men are. Like, they only have that one internal body clock. They only live by the circadian rhythm. They have their one hormonal cycle, which is every 24 hours. So they have the same, like, you know, energy rises and energy dips throughout every single day. Whereas we have our second body clock, which is our 28-day cycle, the infradian rhythm that is going on and affecting us and changing our energy, our emotions, our brain chemistry as well throughout the month. And we just don't get taught about that stuff. So we just don't even know that we should be allowed to give ourselves that compassion, because we just have never had that education. And it's being talked about more and more now. But yeah, it's just sort of like a big gap in that sort of education space around women's wellness and also just embracing that feminine energy, which is actually about being and receiving and feeling and, you know, celebrating creativity, like creating life. That's what we do as women. We create life. We also create, you know, beautiful things within our businesses and within creative projects as well. But it's just constantly like doing, you know, masculine, yeah, chasing money and all of that sort of hectic hustle mentality.
yeah. And so what you're saying is we need to stop comparing ourselves to men and feeling guilty, feeling guilty and like we're not enough if we're not every single day able to match the vibration that they're sitting at.
Yeah, definitely. I think because we've had this opportunity to, you know, take up space in the world and compete with women when it comes to, you know, job titles and everything like that, we're like, okay, well, we need to do that. We need to compete with them. But also at the same time, like we still have to take time off to have kids. We still have, you know, a menstrual cycle. We still have these other things that are affecting us and our bodies and our energy. But because we have that sort of biological disadvantage, I guess, but it's also so powerful what we have and what our bodies do. Like it's actually so incredible. But it's kind of just constantly looked at as that disadvantage from the male's perspective. So we're trying to sort of prove ourselves within society, within the corporate world, to be like, no, that's not an issue. Like we can still do everything. We can still be as good as you and still as productive as you. Mm-hmm. But it's just, yeah, it's just not healthy because men shouldn't even be going as hard as they are as well. Like it's just as a whole, we've got so many issues in our world. Like we're just constantly disregarding and disrespecting our planet and the environment because of profits and revenue. And we're disregarding our mental health and emotions and connections, you know, with our loved ones and our family. There's no space for that. We have, you know, very limited amount of time to actually enjoy that without things to do constantly, without those actions to take. And so it's kind of just like the system basically is just a little bit outdated. And there's no surprises why we have these environmental issues, why we have so much mental health issues, especially in New Zealand. Like money's a struggle, time is scarce, and the system just doesn't allow that space for us to just be and enjoy life, to actually live our lives rather than constantly, you know, working all the time.
Mm. Yeah, and I think as you're speaking, so many women can sort of resonate with this. And like, as I'm listening, I deep down, I know this to my core, you know, often that I do, it is okay to have a slow morning and enjoy beach walks and to slow down the pace of life. And in my core, I know I shouldn't have to operate at such a high level. But I wonder if you can offer some guidance here. So for say like a woman like myself, what I find holds me back from slowing down is this feeling of guilt. And maybe it's because it appears, say on social media, that women are managing some, it can appear like some women are managing to do it all. You know, you see the lives of like the perfect houses and they seem to be running these big businesses and running a family. And you sometimes can't help but think, oh, maybe I just need to toughen up. But then I guess it does come down to what you're saying is we need to learn to trust that inner guidance, don't we? Because you actually, there was a quote that I pulled from one of your posts, and it was this, it was, we've been taught to disconnect from the guidance of our own bodies by fitting into a world designed by men. And so obviously, as I'm speaking, I'm saying, you know, my gut is saying that it's okay to chill, but there's obviously another part of my brain saying you should feel guilty about that. What would you say to a woman like myself in this situation?
Yeah, well, first of all, like you talked a lot about what you're seeing on social media, and you know, there's just such an issue with that because a lot of it is just fake. Like we really need to constantly remind ourselves that it is a highlight reel. And what we're seeing is just a fragment, a perfectly curated fragment of someone's reality. And we don't know exactly how much hard work actually went on behind the scenes, or how many sleepless nights went on behind the scenes for them to get to where they are. And none of that shit happens overnight. Or, you know, maybe they have a very wealthy family as well that we're not actually seeing and they're not talking about. Like, there's so many other things that are going on behind the scenes we don't see. And I think it's really important to consistently remind yourself of that. But also, you know, when it comes to the guilt around, you know, resting and taking that time to just relax and to be and to take care of yourself and look after your body and your mental health, like, it does actually come back to self-worth at the end of the day. Because if we have going back into those childhood things, whether, you know, you've been tied to, you know, getting good results at school and constantly working hard, and that's how you gained your approval from your parents or from your teachers, and that was how you got gained being liked and your sense of significance and self-worth, then you're constantly going to chase that same approach, which is working extremely hard over and over and over and chasing achievements and chasing money, and that is how you gain your sense of self-worth. But again, that's not healthy, because you're constantly going to be chasing something. And self-worth, like true self-worth, comes from within. It comes from your soul and understanding like who you are as a beautiful person, like your core values and the kind of purpose you want to have within the world, like how you want people, how you want to feel, how you want to make other people feel. And it doesn't have to be about the things you own, like, you know, buying material things and getting that sense of significance, or people pleasing, or chasing achievements. Those things, if that's going on and you recognize that within your life, it comes back to a lack of self-worth that a lot of people and a lot of women aren't actually consciously aware of, because it's all going on in the subconscious mind. Like, we don't have access to that every single day when we're making decisions, when we're interacting with life. We're just, you know, doing what we know and what we're used to. But yeah, that's where it comes from. It does come back to a feeling of I'm not good enough, because maybe sometime in the past you were told that you weren't good enough and you need to work harder, and you were punished because maybe you didn't do good on that, you know, exam back at school or something like that. So you're trying to sort of gain that self-worth. So it's actually going back into those past experiences and recreating those belief systems at a subconscious level to be able to, you know, embrace those more empowering beliefs and that more compassionate, self-loving mindset that allows you to just nourish yourself and nourish like your body, your mind, your soul, because that masculine mindset is extremely hard to break. And it can also be this unsafe feeling of embracing that feminine side. And that can be, I've experienced this personally as well, and I've done a lot of work around this, where, you know, naturally I'm very much in my masculine, 100%. Like, I used to be like the most intense go, 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 do, 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 achievement chasing person. And I also very much struggled to relax and stop and take that time. And what I recognized was I actually had a really unhealthy relationship with my idea of the feminine and feminine energy. And that was actually because of a lot of bad experiences that I've had with women. I've experienced bullying from women. I've experienced isolation and rejection and a lack of support from lots of different women in my lives, and betrayal. So to me, like, I didn't want to associate with the feminine. I was just like, no, 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 like, that's unsafe. That's scary. Like, I'm going to get hurt. I don't want to open myself up to embrace that, even though, you know, feminine energy isn't tied to a person, but that's how we kind of tend to look at it on that subconscious level. And that's when I was like, all right, I actually have a lot of healing to do in relation to those experiences around the feminine and actually recreating my associations, because I had, you know, bitchiness and jealousy and betrayal and untrustworthy, all of these really negative words associated and attached to my idea of the feminine. So I had to go and heal and release all of those negative emotions tied to those experiences and start recreating what the feminine meant to me and what feminine energy actually meant to me. And so I could feel more safe to embrace that and to start living it and embodying it. And and that's a lot of people, it's the other way as well. A lot of people can't, they're totally okay in their feminine being flowy, but they've had really bad experiences on the masculine side, so they don't feel safe to kind of actually get into that more like organizational, like go get a like more organized, productive, or goal setting kind of person. They're just more like flowy, go with flow, you know. Mm-hmm. But we need both. It's really important to have both and understand like the empowered qualities rather than the wounded and disempowered qualities of both masculine and feminine energy for that healthy approach to life, and how we make decisions every day and take action every day.
And do you think it's okay that, you know, we're all different and some women may feel more aligned sitting in a, if it was on like a scale, is it okay that someone might prefer to sit more slightly on the masculine side and other women might feel more aligned sitting more on their feminine? Can it work like that? Because I know some women who just, they really are happy sitting in the role of, say, just mum, cooking and cleaning, and that really feels like their purpose to them. And perhaps their only challenge is maybe the guilt that they're not more masculine, because there's a lot of this, I feel like there's a bit of expectation as well in modern day society that it's maybe not okay to be a little bit to stay in like maybe like the old school way.
Mm.
I'm really curious to get your perspective on that, because I do feel like I've met women who sit on different sides of the scale, and I wonder if it's okay that we can just be at different ends sometimes, as long as you say, we're really self-aware, and it's about, you know, letting go of any guilt attached to either side.
Yeah, definitely. And everyone is different, and it's never going to be like an exact 50-50 balance. And some days you'll be more in your masculine, some days you'll be more in your feminine, and it's not always going to be consistently balanced all the time. Like, it's just not possible. But it is just like, yeah, as you said, gaining that awareness around it. And if there is guilt attached to something going on, it's probably best to sort of dive into what specifically is happening and seeing how you can, you know, reprogram your belief systems around that thing, or think about other associations that are going to make you more comfortable with being where you're at, or putting, you know, a few little small changes to make you, I don't know, embrace that side a little bit more. But you don't have to be completely in the middle all the time. It's just not possible. And I think it's a lot more than just like the role you play as well, like whether it's like, you know, being the female entrepreneur, like going and chasing her business goals, or at home, like you can still be a woman who wants to, you know, be a stay-at-home mom and can still embrace like the qualities of the masculine, you know, actually doing stuff, and also, you know, keeping the home like a nice, stable, safe place. And when it comes to, you know, managing emotions and everything like that, you know, you allow yourself to feel, but then setting boundaries is more on like the masculine side, making sure that you're protecting your energy and protecting your priorities. Like, that comes into the masculine side. So it's more than just like the things that we do and the roles we play. It's how we sort of like think and how we allow ourselves to feel. So there's a lot that comes into that masculine and feminine energy and understanding it. So, yeah.
It sounds like a massive field in its own, really. And I think this is why you created a course on this, right? Because like you say, it's not that black and white, and let's face it, nothing really is it?
No.
And you know, knowledge is power. You know, I'm learning a lot just by this conversation, and you know what I'm getting out of it is I do feel like it does help. It helps me understand myself better. I hope women who are listening, it can help them understand themselves better. And I hope that together we can all realize that, you know, there's no situation in which we need to be feeling guilty about anything. Mm-hmm. And guilt is not, it's not a resourceful state, we could say.
Yeah, exactly. It's coming from that scarcity mindset, where it's constantly like we're saying we need to do things, or we should do things, or I don't have enough of this. And that's where, like, if you do find yourself constantly you're comparing yourself to someone else, like you're probably living in that scarcity mindset and focusing on kind of what you lack rather than like the opportunities that are in front of you, all of the beautiful things around you that you can be grateful for, like making those small shifts like every day to put your focus and energy on those positive things that are going on in your life, because where your focus goes, energy flows and you start to attract more of that. So it's really important to start embracing that more like abundant mindset where you're actually being grateful and just seeing opportunities, even in things that are hard. Like when you go through a breakup, obviously it's an extremely tough experience, but you know, it's a really beautiful time to actually come back to yourself and decide like what you really want and to start prioritizing the things that are important to you. And, you know, looking at those things that were tough as, you know, a learning opportunity and what you can actually gain from that to, you know, help you grow as a person and help you to have a better relationship next time around. Like, it's really important. Like, it just comes back to all of that mindset stuff. But I did just want to say, like, back to, you know, around the guilt of feeling, you know, yeah, I guess lazy or shameful when it comes to resting as well, learning about your menstrual cycle would really help. That is something that has been extremely beneficial to me, because I didn't know anything about that until I came off the pill and I was like, I want to reconnect with my body and understand what's actually going on, because I was taking the pill for like 10 years and, you know, that also didn't help with my mental health. And a lot of women experience that, you know, it does mess up their mind. So I was like, no, I just want to kind of be all natural and see what I actually feel like as me, because I was like, I don't even know who I feel like as me without that medication. And you can actually start to sync your life cycle to your menstrual cycle, because we have, you know, different hormonal phases, you know, that are going on throughout the month. It's like, so it's basically identifying, you know, your strengths and, you know, your weaknesses in those different hormonal phases and understanding how you can support yourself through those different phases, through nutrition, through exercise, through the kind of work you do, and, you know, setting boundaries when it comes to, you know, creating time and space for yourself to either nurture yourself on your menstrual cycle or to get out and be social and, you know, take advantage of that energy you have during like ovulation, and you have more of that confidence to go out on a first date and that kind of thing. Like understanding what's actually going on, how your body is affected by your hormones and how you can support yourself, then it's a whole lot easier to have that self-compassion. It's like, I identify where I'm at. I identify coming up to my period, I'm probably going to experience some self-doubts. I'm probably going to experience a lack of energy and some cravings. So I know this is normal and it's not something I should beat myself up about. It's what every woman experiences. And, you know, instead of being like, oh, why can't I, you know, exercise the same amount every day? It's like, well, actually, maybe I should look at my hormonal cycles and plan my workout routine to actually support that and my natural body's rhythms that it goes through, rather than I just can't do this because I'm lazy and unmotivated, because it's not true.
Yeah, that's just so powerful. And I think we're really lucky that we live in a world where there has been research now about the changes that women experience through our menstrual cycles. I remember the first time I learned about this was when a book came out called Raw by Stacey Sims, and it was all about, and she basically has dedicated her life work to helping women sync their nutrition, specifically women athletes. So she specializes in female athlete nutrition and specializing their nutrition around their trainings. And that just blew my mind, because that just was not something that I'd ever heard ever before. And, you know, now you're kind of just backing that up again, you know, and it's not just our nutrition that needs to change, right? We have these shifts in what's going on in our minds. Our body fluctuates. It's something that I'm often having to talk to women about when it comes to body image, you know, and I'm sure that you'll know even more than I do about this, but you know, we can literally have days where our body image can get really, really crap because of where we're at in our cycle. So I find that that's a really common trigger for women. So yeah, you're just this area of cycle syncing. Cycle syncing. I feel like it's we're only just getting started, really, aren't we?
100%. It's so exciting, and it really just needs to get into schools. To be honest, it needs to be spread out. Like, as soon as I learned more about it and started integrating, you know, that knowledge into my life, it was like the shifts I experienced mainly in my mindset, which actually made the hugest difference of just being able to understand and to support myself more and to let go of that guilt, let go of that shame, and just be like, yeah, this is me. And it's just, it's so nice just living in that cyclical way and being able to figure out like when you would be best to like have meetings and when you'd be best to sort of, you know, do planning and when you'd be best to sort of like do the more analytical work based on what's going on in your mind as well. It's like, it's just mind blowing, but our bodies are so incredible. And when you understand more of that and what's going on, you gain that kind of like respect, and you're kind of almost in awe for the female body, because we're kind of taught like everything is a disadvantage, but actually there's so much strength in us. And the fact that we have that inner guidance that we can actually tune into whenever we want is so empowering, and it's something to really celebrate rather than look at, you know, the menstrual cycle as just like a pain and, you know, something we wish that we didn't have, because it's really, really beautiful and something that we should really celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the one of my favorite words is this word of compassion. And I feel like when you do have that knowledge around your body, it does help with that compassion, doesn't it? Because instead of, you can make sense of what you're experiencing. And so instead of, say you're having like a mood crash, or you're feeling like your body changed a little bit, instead of being like, oh my God, I've done something wrong, I need to like sort my stuff out, instead of getting angry at ourselves, angry at our poor body who's just doing what it was always designed to do.
Yeah.
I think having that knowledge, I think it really does help with that compassion, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And also just not taking all of the, you know, fads and trends that go on as gospel, like, you know, when it comes to intermittent fasting, which you would know about way more than I do, and all of those sort of biohacks and things to lose weight, all of that is like the majority of that, not all of it, but the majority of that is, you know, based on studies that are around men and that doesn't consider women. And so we're kind of learning and doing these things that is, you know, said to be like the holy grail of losing weight or, you know, gaining energy or whatever, but it's actually not based, it's not around women's bodies, and it doesn't consider our cycle. And because it's really hard to do studies on women because of our cycle and the different phases that we're going at different times. So it's a lot of that study just doesn't represent women very well. And so we could go on trying to do those things all the time and just be beating ourselves up. Like, why isn't this working? I'm trying so hard. I'm following the steps, but it's not designed for us.
No, thank you so much for talking about this. Like I say, when this is something that Stacey Sims is super passionate about, those of you listening, type in Stacey Sims if you've found this stuff interesting when we're talking about women's cycles. I just think the more knowledge we have around this stuff, the better. It really is super powerful. I'm just looking here. There was one other thing that I really wanted to make sure we had time to cover. And it's this word that I feel like is actually very controversial in the health space, and that word is balance. Now, I personally, when I did my values exercise, which I recommend all women do at some point, it's really good. You have there's this massive list of values. You highlight all the ones that resonate with you, and then you put them into categories where they all resonate, and then you eventually come up with like your five core values. There's lots of ways of doing it, but that was just the particular exercise that I did to come up with my five top. And balance came up for me. But I often hear health professionals, whether they're nutritionists, dietitians, or just health coaches, they really don't like this word balance. And so I find it's probably something I'm going to ask quite a few people on this show is your perspective on balance. Clearly you have no issues with it because it's part of the name of your course. So what does balance mean for you? And why do you not see this as like a negative thing?
Yeah. Well, I obviously love it because it's part of the name Balance Boss Babe. But I am going to quickly say something right now that I'm actually changing my name to Balanced by Olivia, but it's still Balanced and balance is a core value of mine as well. And as I said, like same as before, it doesn't always have to be a perfect 50-50 balance. It's just constantly looking at both sides of something. So to me, it represents a balance of masculine and feminine energy. It represents a balance of self-love and compassion and prioritizing yourself by setting boundaries, but also being open and vulnerable to other people to connect on a deeper level. It also represents like, you know, working smart, playing hard, you know, resting, recharging. It is constantly representing like just life, like the holistic view of life and creating space to actually enjoy all of the things that are important to you rather than just focusing on work and money and achievements and not opening up that space for play and creativity and pleasure. So it's just all about basically creating space for all of those things and balancing those core things like masculine, feminine energy, doing as well as being, giving and receiving, because they're all important. And that's, I feel like when we embrace all of those things, we can have a really healthy approach to life. Our mindset will be more empowered. And you'll be able to connect with people. You'll be able to work through struggles a lot easier and turn those into your strengths. And this is, it's really important to me. And like with my burnout to balance course, like it's around all of that. Like it integrates both those masculine and feminine energies, understanding your cycle, understanding, you know, balance of different perspectives and the mindset work and where your beliefs have come from and being thankful for those like past traumas and past experiences that have, you know, caused us pain, but also on the other side of that have given us so many tools, made us the person that we are today and given us so many tools and strengths to move forward with. So I love that word. And I think it's a really empowering word. And I don't care what anyone has to say about the negative side of it. That's their choice.
I love that. I love that. That's another thing I love about you. I feel like you're very unapologetic about you just being you and, you know, standing strong in your beliefs and your values. Because at the end of the day, you know, we are who we are, right? And there are always going to be people who disagree. And that's also okay. And in the same way that, you know, some people might have a negative connotation towards this word balance, that's fine, right? But there will be a lot of people out there, I think, who are like us, and they do love that idea of balance, and that does ring true and resonate with them. And I just really hope that the people who it does resonate with, they don't listen to one nutritionist or health coach and hear that, oh, you shouldn't be striving for balance, like balance is a damaging negative word. I really hope that by hearing somebody else's perspective on that word, it doesn't then make somebody else question whether that's okay, because I know I went through that phase and I got a little bit confused for a while, and sort of done the inner work to realize, no, like that's a core value of mine. And it sounds like you've gone through that same, maybe you've never questioned it before, but you're very strong and that's important to you and you understand what that means. So I think the key thing that you said here is it doesn't have to be this pressure filled word, because by balance, we're not talking about it being a perfect 50-50% split. It's you define your own version of balance.
Yeah, exactly. And with all core values, like, you know, so many people would have the same core value, but it would mean something completely different to each of those people because they're individual. And when you have a belief, like it's never a fact. It's only one's perception based on, you know, their experience of life and everything that they've gone through. So, yeah, everyone's looking through their own lens on things, and it's just so important to define your own meanings and your own associations for things that are important to you. Like, you know, if you look at business or marriage, for example, you could have negative associations based on, you know, your parents going through a terrible divorce that you witnessed, whereas another person can look at marriage and think, you know, love, support, you know, best friends and lifelong happiness, you know. So everyone has their own different, you know, views on things. So define what is right for you and what means, yeah, exactly, come back to your heart, and you get to choose. And that's the incredible thing, is like, you get to choose how you want to live your life. You get to choose what you believe and what you think, and how you treat people and how you treat yourself. So at the end of the day, like, that's really exciting to me, like, those realizations. And I hope these women watching this can feel really excited by, you know, thinking, wow, actually, yeah, it's up to me, like, I have the power.
100%, 100%. And I think that's a perfect place to finish. I hope all the ladies who've watched this episode feel like they have full permission to figure out what works for them and to go on that self-exploration journey with no expectations attached. You get to decide your own version. You can use the word balance if you don't want to, that's fine too. You know, we all get to choose. And, you know, some, I think one of the biggest take homes that you've expressed really clearly, I think, here, Olivia, is the importance of reconnecting with our inner wisdom, because we all have that inner wisdom.
Yeah, so, so important.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to finish it there, ladies. I hope you guys have enjoyed this chat with Liv and I. So, Olivia, how can they connect with you?
So, mainly hang out on Instagram. So, @balance_boss_babe.
Coolest, yeah. Reels, everybody, by the way. She does awesome reels.
Yes, but if you search me and you can't find me, it may have been because I'm going through a little bit of a rebrand and my name will be changing to Balanced by Olivia. But if you're interested in like learning more and doing some of this work, I'm relaunching the Burnout to Balance course, which goes through all of the stuff that we're talking about today, the mindset, the alignment, the cycle syncing, and creating a routine that's actually rewarding and designed for you rather than a man. And so that's launching on the 4th of April as well. So, yeah. That's
exciting. And how long is that course, sorry, did you just say?
So it's a pre-recorded course, so it can kind of take as long as you want, but there's like tools to actually help you integrate that into your life. Like, I've created a full-on, I call it the Balanced Life Dashboard, which has like a monthly planner with all of the information you need for different, each different hormonal phase and how to track that and how to plan around that. Because I think a lot of the time, yes, knowledge is power, but having the tools and actually being able to action those things, that's the actual power. So that's why it's really important to me to have those tangible things to actually integrate it into your life.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I will definitely consider doing that myself. Actually, no, I've just come back on the pill, unfortunately. So Marina didn't quite work. and I was the same as you, actually. I had a really, really great year off, but it, yeah, you kind of got to use something. But
it's also just to, because I think a lot of women have the same like reservation on that, whether, you know, they can still understand or whether it's worth them investing time into understanding that if they're not on the pill, because a lot of women who don't have that, who don't have their period, basically, yeah, you can still embrace that sort of cyclical way of living and actually sync up to the moon phases. Okay. So each different moon phase represents the different hormonal phases. So you can still kind of give yourself like the times throughout the month where you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to be that go, 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 girl. And then you can have those times in the month where it's like about reflection, where it's about coming back to you and showing yourself love. You don't have to have a menstrual cycle to kind of embrace that cyclical way of living.
Awesome. Well, it's so good that I brought that up then. So those ladies who are listening, yeah, even if you are on the pill or on the Marina or something like that, there's still so much benefit that you can get from this course that Liv has put together. It sounds like there's so many great tools in there. So awesome. Glad that we brought that up. Awesome. Okay,
thanks, everybody. For having me.
My absolute pleasure. All right. See everybody next week. And don't forget to like and subscribe. And both Liv and I are on Instagram, and we love hearing from you. So if you did enjoy the episode, just send us a DM. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes. Bye, ladies. Thank you.
Bye. All right.